You're listening to Over the Night on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Harrop.
Welcome back in. This is Over the Night here on SB Nation Radio. Matt Harrop with you. And now let's talk St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Head manager Mike Matheny fired this weekend, along with two hitting coaches. Tyler Kinsey is our guest writer for the St. Louis Cardinals SB Nation page, which is Viva Albertos. You can follow Tyler on Twitter at Tyler_opinion. All right, Tyler, was this expected? Was there any rumblings going on within St. Louis that because the Cardinals were in third place, what are they, 7.5 out, something like that? It's pretty much the Cubs and the Brewers right now in that National League Central. Were there rumblings around St. Louis for the past couple of weeks that a move like this could be coming?
Well, it was definitely surprising, especially given this time frame. I think the rumblings around Matheny and some of the other hitting coaches were that the club is currently on track to probably miss the playoffs for what would be the third straight year for the first time this century, actually. So I think the general impression was that these coaching shakeups, if they were to occur, would occur if and when the club does miss the playoffs, they make the moves in the offseason. So it was definitely surprising to see ownership and management actually pull the trigger mid-season.
Do you see this more as a move to fire up the team? I mean, sometimes stuff like this happens where, okay, we liked our manager, but he wasn't getting the job done necessarily. And there's talks, oh, they didn't know how to manage the clubhouse. I'll ask you about that first, the next. But do you think this was more done to fire up the team in an inspiration kind of deal to get them going for the second half of the season?
Well, definitely been indictments of Matheny as a strategist, and a lot of baseball fans, whether you follow the Cardinals or not, you've seen that in nationally televised games, playoff games back from when the Cardinals were seemingly making the playoffs every year. But I think what ultimately did Matheny in was, to kind of use the cliche phrase, he really did lose the clubhouse, and there was a lack of communication with key veteran players, Dexter Fowler being one of them. You had kind of these feuds going on between veteran and rookie players with reports about Bud Norris and Jordan Hicks. And I get the impression that it was just a very tense clubhouse. And even today, the early reports have been that this is the first game in the post-Matheny era. It's been a lot looser. Guys were smiling, having fun. And ultimately, the Cardinals came out with a win today. So I think it was more having to do with Mike Matheny, the manager, trying to actually keep this clubhouse afloat.
Yeah, Tyler Kinsey is our guest, a writer for Viva Albertos, which is the St. Louis Cardinals SB Nation page. You can follow Tyler on Twitter at Tyler_opinion. So can you expand on that relationship between Matheny and Dexter Fowler? You hear rumblings about that, but what exactly was the problem there?
So it began a little earlier this year. I believe it was back in April when Fowler had begun the year. He had a fine year at the plate last year, and he began at the top of the order this year, and Fowler was really beginning to struggle early in April, and it became clear something wasn't right with him. So Matheny had moved Fowler lower in the order, and rather than actually talk to Dexter Fowler in person, which Fowler would prefer, evidently, Matheny would just send out these kind of generic text messages with the starting lineup for the players, but he would also throw in kind of these cheesy, inspirational quotes in these text messages, and Dexter Fowler was just kind of fed up with it, and obviously, I'm not in the clubhouse every day, but from the reports that we've heard publicly, it sounds like Matheny with Fowler, who's this $80-plus million free agent signing, they weren't even on speaking terms with one another. And there was just this lack of communication with him. And it looks like the tensions were running high. And this was really starting to kind of transpire and move on to other players, where this wasn't just between Matheny and Fowler. It was getting to a point where you could kind of feel this reverberating throughout the entire clubhouse.
Oh, man. Okay, so now go on to Bud Morris. Norris, I mean, I guess there were reports that he was asking him to spy on other teams' bullpens. Is that what the accusation, or what was going on there with him and Bud Norris?
So it began with Bud Norris, and Norris has a reputation that precedes him well beyond St. Louis. You look even just last year with the Angels, I believe it was. If I'm understanding the story correctly, how it originally began is that Bud Norris was really getting on Jordan Hicks and I believe some of the younger pitchers, but Hicks in particular. And Mike Matheny was essentially giving Norris the green light to follow Hicks around and report back to Matheny if he noticed anything. And Matheny would use this information from Norris to kind of spy on Jordan Hicks. And it got to the point where Hicks was, I hate to use the word harassed because that seems like it could be a little extreme, but
right.
It was beyond just your normal rookie hazing. Oh, here's the little backpacks you're going to wear around. It was getting to a point where Jordan Hicks was fed up with it, and evidently this key rookie player has been great for the Cardinals and who looks to be in their long-term plans wasn't feeling comfortable in the clubhouse. And Mike Matheny was siding with his veteran players here with the whole idea that, oh, baseball, it's become so soft now, and let's get back to the old school ways. And apparently the quotes in the articles and what Matheny said did not sit well with ownership at all in these final weeks of his employment.
Yeah. Tyler Kinsey is our guest, our writer for Viva Albertos, the SB Nation page for the St. Louis Cardinals. You can follow him on Twitter at Tyler_opinion. I mean, this is very, you know, the text messaging specific. I did not know that. That just seems like very odd behavior for a manager in terms of how you interact with your players. Did Matheny have a reputation like this before in previous years in terms of a lack of communication and just a general distance between him and his players in the clubhouse? Did this all come about this year?
Well, the irony with it is, Mike Matheny, it's no secret, he's never been a great manager as far as pulling the strings of the tactics of the game, but ownership and some fans who support him have always kind of justified keeping him around with that idea, and that's the reason he was brought in and hired back in 2011 in the first place. He's kind of a player's manager, and he's great with communicating. He's a younger manager. He's kind of saber-friendly, but he'll handle things with the young players well, and throughout his entire tenure, that has not been the case. There's kind of this perception of quote-unquote Mike's guys, where the veteran players in his inner circle and Colton Wong, the Cardinals' starting second baseman. There was an article, I'm trying to remember who wrote it. This was back in 2016, I believe, where Wong pretty much point-blank said, I don't know what my role on this team is. So there's definitely a track record of a lack of communication with Matheny and players, specifically those younger players who aren't in kind of his inner circle of veteran players.
Yeah. Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm trying to place myself in the mind of a St. Louis sports fan. You lose Albert Pujols, you lose Tony La Russa, and then a couple of years ago, you lose the St. Louis Rams. I would imagine as a St. Louis sports fan, there is already this built-up general frustration with just the sports and how things have gone down in that city. How has the fan reaction been to the team, I'm not going to say performing poorly, but not being at the elite level that I would imagine a St. Louis fan is used to, going back to the La Russa years and the Albert Pujols years? Has there been a general frustration just within the St. Louis sports fan mindset, do you think, with how the team has been performing over the last couple of years?
Absolutely. There definitely is that frustration. I think a lot of that stems from the perennial consistency of this team in the last 20 years, ever since Bill DeWitt bought the team. And you go into the year as a Cardinals fan every year with the playoffs and a deep run into the playoffs, hopefully in mind, but that expectation has almost slipped in recent years, and it's not the most accurate barometer, but you just look at Busch Stadium over the past couple of years. You go back a couple of years, it was this vibrant place, 40,000 plus in the stands every night, and it could be a game in the middle of July with a playoff atmosphere. And his final game, it was Saturday night. It was an 8-2 loss to the Reds. And the commentators, I remember, they made the remark that you could hear a pin drop at Busch Stadium. And it was just such a dead environment. And there was this feeling of restlessness with the fans where this team is kind of trapped in the cycle of 85-win mediocrity. And Cardinals fans have come to expect a lot more. And there has been a lot of finger-pointing. And there is a lot of blame to go around. But I think a lot of that has been directed at Mike Matheny, and I would argue rightfully so. So I think there was just this giant collective sigh of relief, I think, among fans when the news was announced last night that Matheny was fired.
Tyler Kinsey, our guest, a writer for Viva Albertos, which is the St. Louis Cardinals SB Nation page. You can follow Tyler on Twitter and all of his work at Tyler_opinion. And yeah, what you just said kind of validated what I started the show with. I compared the Cardinals almost to like the Spurs, the Yankees, the Patriots, just in terms of the fan base and the expectation of winning. Do you think this is the first domino to fall, or do you think general manager, I don't know, president of baseball operations or a general manager might be in trouble? Do you think this is just the first of other moves that might be happening?
I think John Mozeliak, who's the Cardinals' president of baseball operations, he just got promoted last year. As far as his job security, I would doubt that he's on the hot seat. And you have to remember with Matheny, a lot of the criticism of him is, yes, Albert Pujols left, but he was essentially handed the reins of the defending world champions of baseball when he took over back in 2011, his first year in 2012. And when you look at the team and the Cardinals, still some of their core guys, John Mozeliak and this current brass of front office executives, I think they've done a great job putting together consistent rosters every year. And when you look at a big reason why the Cardinals are perennial contenders year in, year out, I think the front office, rightfully so, deserves a lot of credit. So obviously there is frustration that they do share a great load of responsibility here with kind of this flip in production for the Cardinals over the last few years. But I wouldn't anticipate if the Cardinals missed the playoffs this year being any major shakeups in the front office this offseason.
Yeah, well, Tyler, I was going to ask you, look, when you lose a superstar in Albert Pujols, I think it's generally reasonable to expect that production is going to slip. So how would you grade, if I were to ask you to grade the front office, the job they've done in terms of recovering, because I think it's fair to use the word recovery when you lose a guy like Albert Pujols, how would you grade the recovery process post-Pujols from the general managing position in St. Louis?
Well, I think the kind of general composition of the Cardinals roster construction has changed, where you go back to the previous kind of front office regime with Walt Jocketty. You had that MV3 of Jim Edmonds and Scott Rolen and Albert Pujols, these very star-centric teams. With the Cardinals, that's been their big problem. You saw Giancarlo Stanton kind of vetoing a trade to St. Louis, essentially, with this no-trade clause. They missed out on David Price. That has been what I really think is kind of preventing this club from getting over the hump. It's that lack of a superstar and their inability to get things done and actually bring that superstar to St. Louis ever since Pujols left. So I think that would probably be my biggest criticism. But overall, I think the front office has done a great job. The Cardinals have had deep farm systems. They've still done an excellent job training out this young, cost-controllable pitching talent every year. Mm-hmm. So I think to give them a grade of around a B+, maybe an A- is still fair. And again, it seems crazy, but last year the Cardinals still won 83 games. They were in playoff contention until the last week or two. And the sky is falling in St. Louis, according to fan bases. So I think we should take a step back and realize we have been spoiled as Cardinals fans. This past 15, 20-year run has been incredible.
Yeah, again, I go back to what I said in the first segment, talking Spurs, Patriots, Yankees. I understand, Tyler, as a Yankees fan, look, when it was surprising that the Yankees did not take a dip, and there really wasn't any kind of a transition period post-Jeter. Final question for you here, Tyler. Options moving forward in terms of the manager position. What is going on in terms of the talks in St. Louis for the actual job, not the interim job there?
Yeah, so Mike Schilt, the bench coach, will remain the interim manager through the rest of the season, I believe. That's not going to change. They're not going to hire the long-term replacement this year. I've heard some rumblings about Joe Girardi, the former Yankees manager, mm-hmm. potentially being a replacement. But I think you have to go back to why the Yankees essentially fired Girardi by not renewing his contract in the first place. And that was this disconnect between him and some players in the clubhouse, of note the younger players. And as the Cardinals kind of begin this new chapter in their franchise history with this younger core, I think it is very important for them that they want a very data-oriented manager when it comes to in-game strategy, but they also want a personal manager who's going to be able to relate and communicate very well with younger players.
Yeah.
So I don't think Girardi would meet the bill. I don't know off the top of my head if there's anybody in particular who I would say that is near kind of the top of the list that they'd be targeting, but this is the ownership with John Mozeliak. Some Cardinals fans would argue their greatest mistake is what they did in the last cycle of interviews when Matheny was brought in. So I think it will be interesting to see if there are any takeaways, things they learned from that process, and maybe what they didn't do right, mm-hmm. to see if they take that into thoughts going forward with the new manager that they're going to be choosing.
No, without a doubt. Look, it'll be interesting to see. And that stuff about Girardi is absolutely true. There was a disconnect, and that's one of the reasons they went out and got Aaron Boone, a younger guy who definitely connects with the locker room a little bit better. Tyler Kinsey has been our guest writer for Viva Albertos. You can follow Tyler's work on Twitter at Tyler_opinion. Hey, thank you very much for the time and staying up. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
We are back after this on SB Nation Radio.